Great. Okay, well, thank you all for being on, and I am going to go ahead and turn it over to Leah for some national updates.
Great. It sounded like somebody came on after Thomas. Did we miss somebody?
Hey, this is Sharon.
Oh, welcome, Sharon. Great. So we just opened up our time in prayer, and I wanted to give you guys a quick update. First thing is just to give you a little behind-the-scenes peek at some of the information that you might have heard coming out either through our emails or through other sources. Many of you understood that or heard that the Air Force was bold in reinforcing a strong policy to protect religious freedom of those military personnel in the Air Force. Well, I'd like to give you a little behind-the-scenes glimpse to let you know what an impact and how much of a force the Congressional Prayer Caucus has become at the national level. There's been a series of hearings and committee meetings on a number of levels of religious freedom in the military, and we're potentially going to send out another executive director email that gives you a glimpse into one of the committee meetings where Congressman Forbes and Trent Franks and many others, Lamborn, were able to speak opposite of Weinstein, and I think it's very informative. But just to kind of step back for just a moment and let you know, when that Air Force policy, what happened behind the scenes is that Congressman Forbes has been able to talk with many of the heads of the military forces. And after a series of conversations, the commander of the Air Force came to Congressman Forbes, handed him the current policy handbook, and said, "You rewrite this. You rewrite this to make sure that we are protecting the religious freedom of our Air Force personnel." That's the kind of weight and opportunities that our congressional members are having because they have united, because they have stood together and become a strong voice and power for protecting religious freedom, and have shown that people across this nation care, and they've also shown the legislative prayer caucuses across the nation and the network that's been building. They're able to talk about it. They're able to show these people about what's the military leaders that know there is a contingency of people that is growing that is going to stand with you if you will do the right things for our military. So that is sort of an internal behind-the-scenes look. We obviously didn't put that out in our newsletters or emails or anything, and I don't want you to do that either. It's not meant to be disseminated in that way, but feel free to talk about it to friends and family and those that you're working with, because I want people to know that there are people that are working behind the scenes. We just don't want to make it so public that it becomes a point of contention and uproar, you know, that kind of thing. So just as a quick aside, and the other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit was the National Summit. By the way, somebody joined us. I wanted to acknowledge, who was that came in?
This is Pam Olson, Tallahassee.
Pam, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us. All righty.
Hey, this is Bob Emmerich, also from Maine.
Bob, yay. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
I'm going to put my phone on mute so I can listen without it making too much noise. I'm in the vehicle, but I'm almost back to the office.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the same. I might have to drop off a little bit early. I'm going to be doing a television interview about the nativity scene versus the satanic temple display at our state capitol. So please pray for me.
Good for you. Yes, we will pray for you. Absolutely.
It's religious freedom at its strongest, because Satan is the Satanists have gotten permission to be at the Capitol this year for Christmas too. So it's an Elijah showdown. Elijah showdown at the state capitol.
Wow. We will lift that in prayer. Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, I'm gonna put it back on mute. So I'm praying for you guys. Thanks.
You bet. You bet. All right, let's talk a little bit about the National Summit. First, I want to give you an update about the National Summit. We are really encouraged about the number of legislators that have joined the registered for the summit, both at the congressional level and at the state legislative level. We now have about 20 legislators who have signed up, and I think there's 16 different states that are represented. So we are very encouraged, and we just started. I mean, they're just receiving our printed invites. They're just getting phone calls from us to remind them and that kind of thing. So we have now 17 members of Congress who have indicated that they will be attending and hosting this in conjunction with us. That is a huge number of members of Congress that will be a part of this. And that's in addition to our, I think, 13 or 14 state directors and, of course, our staff. And we also have a number of key law and policy people that have agreed to come, several key business leaders and a few key faith leaders that have agreed to come. So we have quite a few leaders, probably close to, we're nearing the 65-67 range for people. And that's wonderful for at this point, because many of our legislators are saying, I plan on coming, I just need to get back into session in January. We've sort of told people by the end of January we'd like a final count. But suffice to say, the members of Congress are really thrilled about the attendance, the registration, and so are the other legislators. And what we're finding is they're telling their peers, they're telling their friends. I've had members of Congress call state legislators that they feel like need to be there and make sure that they know about it. So really, really excited. A couple of just housekeeping things to clarify for the state directors. Just one more time, I want to reiterate regarding the state director travel reimbursement. What we're asking each of you to do is register for your hotel, and at the time of when the payment is required at the hotel, that payment will go on the our CPCF credit card, but they will need a credit card when you register for your hotel. Like I said, though, the payment will actually go on our credit card. That's what the hotel, if everything goes according to what the hotel has promised us, that is. But suffice it to say, that's the plan. Submit, feel free to book your airfare, drive your car, keep track of your mileage, and then at the time at the conference or shortly after the conference, if you would submit those costs for reimbursement through our typical reimbursement channels, and Summer can make sure that you have a reimbursement form, and then, we'll reimburse you. You can expect reimbursement certainly within 30 days. We hopefully will do it much sooner, but we'll get you a timely reimbursement. And there won't be any rental cars needed because you're very close to the airport and it'll just be shuttled. People will just be shuttled to the hotel. So you shouldn't need any kind of rental car. And as far as arriving, you can feel free to arrive on Friday. We will likely have an opportunity to meet together Friday afternoon, but this program, the entire agenda, has not been finalized. I've met with Congressman Ford three times in the past few weeks, working through the program, working through the details, asking the questions, trying to really think through what we want to accomplish and how and who should we gather and that kind of thing. But we're still working on that. But tentatively, we thought, that Friday afternoon slot might be a really great time to get maybe the state directors together, maybe get some of the key facilitators together. And what we found out is the congressional calendar, the good news is the congressional calendar, they actually don't have votes on that Friday. Their votes are finished on Thursday. So that indicates that the congressmen might be able to actually get there earlier than they might have if they would have had votes on that Friday. So that's we were excited to see that the calendar cooperated with us. You are encouraged to follow up with your state legislators, and if you know they've been invited, feel free to, we can either get you some sort of list or update on who has actually already RSVP'd from your state. But definitely feel free to follow up with your legislators, and Summer can tell you who was invited and who's already RSVP'd and all that kind of stuff, who's already registered. And also, just so that you know, when you're talking to your legislators, the legislators are paying their own travel. That's all they're paying. They just need to get themselves there. They're lodging as well, which is, we've booked a block of rooms for $107 a night, so it's very affordable, very reasonable. for the Renaissance Suite. So they're nice rooms, and they can they will cover their own travel, air travel, car travel, and their own hotel lodging, and then we'll take care of everything from there. So if you're talking to a legislator and they have that question, just let them know. And, of course, they can call us and if you forget. So I want to just take a moment now to ask if there's anything that else that you guys is burning questions or that you might need to know when you're talking to your legislators or as you're making your plans that you need to know from us. I want to make sure you have all the details you need as you're working out your plans to come.
Could you just repeat real quickly, the state legislator travel is their travel, their expenses for gasoline or car or airplane fare or whatever, that will be their expense, and then the hotel rooms will be covered, and their meals and stuff is theirs, is that correct?
Actually, just the opposite. All the air travel, car, their travel, and their lodging. So essentially, all their travel expenses and lodging expenses is at their at their cost. And the registration, the entire conference, all the meals when they get there, all the incidentals, that will be covered when they get to the conference. We'll cover all that.
Okay, thanks. That's
now,
great.
I'm gonna do a caveat there too, because I've said this to legislators, and I want to tell you guys this too. If there's a legislator that needs to be there and they cannot afford to come, and that's the reason why they're not coming, then you need to let us know that as well, because when I've talked to a couple of legislators and they've indicated that, wow, this wouldn't be covered by their campaign, most of these legislators will cover this through their campaign finance accounts. But there were a couple that I talked to that said it might be difficult because this is covered by such and such, and we've already got our fill for the year, so this would be an additional expense. And I told them, listen, if that's the only thing that's coming that prevents you from coming, I'll cover your entire trip, including your travel. So I will make that exception and we'll do that. I don't want money to keep legislators from coming to this conference. We'll just find more sponsors to cover the cost. I just think it's that important that the right people get to this conference, and I don't want that to be a preventative. Don't start with that because a lot of legislators can cover it quite nicely with other sources, but if they can't, keep that in your back pocket as something to bring out. All righty. Two more quick things, and then I'll pass it on to Summer. A new development has happened here at the home office. We have recently been provided an opportunity to have the entire upstairs provided for us at a very, very reduced cost at 524 Johnstown. And I know many of you don't even know that we had a conference room only in this larger building at 524 Johnstown Road in Great Bridge in Chesapeake, Virginia, which is where our headquarters has been. But we've all been working virtually, and we haven't really had a headquarters to speak of. Well, just recently in this past week, Congressman Forbes, who owns the building, felt pressed by the Lord that he was not to renew the contract for the attorneys that have the downstairs section, and instead was to give it to the foundation, and that it was time. And he spent probably a month in prayer and going over everything that we're doing and talking to members of Congress, talking to donors, doing a whole investment the month before Thanksgiving. Actually, I'm sorry, the month before and a week after the elections, actually. And he really felt like the Lord was speaking to him that it was time that the foundation have this location. And so they have... Not only has he offered that to us, but he's also helped to find people. He's helping to find people who will fund that headquarters and begin to give us an opportunity to expand there. And then Summer was working with Shannon up in Washington D.C. and she's a gal that works with the Bible Museum, and they were demolishing a whole office building, and there was a whole huge room full of furniture that was very nice, very, very, looked like new, much of it. and we were able to get all of that furniture for free. So we filled, we literally, as of Tuesday, filled up our quite large office space with multiple pieces of furniture for a very reasonable and sort of shockingly inexpensive price. So the Lord just, boom, sort of dropped this, and after much, we've been praying about this for a long time, and then the Lord in his kindness just gave it to us. And the reason why that's important, obviously the space is not crucial, but the impact that this is having, even with Congressman Forbes and different ones, is we've already had members of Congress that have said, I want to come down to your headquarters, and I want to be involved, and I want to help. It's just giving them a place that is tangible, that's not in space and in the virtual world that we all live in. And it really, even just in the few short weeks that this is, that has begun to take shape, the volunteer opportunities, the ways in which we can utilize this office. And one thing I'm super excited about is that I have now purchased those digital photo frames. And Congressman Forbes said, would you put those up on the wall right when you walk in, that very first wall, would you put those up? Because I want to bring people through. I want to bring people through from our community, from donors, the legislators, the congressmen who come constantly through this area. I want to bring them to this office, and I want them to see what's happening across the nation. I want them to see your state directors. I want them to see the launch events. I want them to see the legislators, the prayer meetings, the ways in which they can, their impact and what's happening across this nation, because they aren't seeing it. They don't know this is happening, and they want to, and this would be a beautiful way to illustrate it through all these pictures. And we have videos and pictures galore that are just sitting there waiting to be shown of all that you guys have been doing and hosting and facilitating across this nation. So your pictures are going to become even more valuable to us as we begin telling the story of what's happening across this nation. Congressman Forbes is intending to use all of this to tell the story at the summit as well. He wants to really provide an opportunity for these members of Congress to and legislators across this nation to be a part of something that is really taking some concrete shape in a new, fresh way. So that's the significance of this headquarters, and we think that you guys are going to be just a real big part of it. And as the days and months progress, I think there's going to be even more opportunities for us with that, having that headquarters, and for us to support you all better. All right, and new web design, we're right in the throes of that. I mentioned that last month. We're definitely in the throes now. We have site maps and overviews, and now we're starting to flesh it out. And so if there's any feedback at all that you want to give us, now's the time, because we're moving full speed ahead on that new website and the entire new design of all of our websites. I mean, all the websites are getting sort of a facelift so that we can better support what you guys are doing across the nation and this whole network that's building. So that's it. Summer, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Great. Just to give one more opportunity for anybody that may have any questions for Leah. Okay. Great. Well, I have just a couple of things that I wanted to share. I know I did share some of this on one of the Tuesday prayer calls, but a couple of tremendous breakthroughs as it pertains to prayer and protecting our Judeo-Christian heritage, if you will. One is a federal judge in North Carolina, a federal judge has ruled prayer okay in government meetings in Forsyth County in North Carolina. This has been an ongoing case that basically Forsyth County had asked the court in June to dissolve a 2010 injunction that barred it from practicing its policy of allowing ministers, clergy, and so forth to deliver sectarian prayers. And the specific complaint was against praying in Jesus' name. And so recently, good news, a federal judge has ruled that the Forsyth County commissioners can return to their former policy of allowing sectarian prayer before meetings. So that is setting a precedent that would then also reverse other rulings or similar rulings. So that was a huge answer to prayer. Also, we found out last week, I believe it was, that the Colorado Supreme Court has thrown out a lawsuit that was challenging a National Day of Prayer proclamation, and this was a long fight going on since 2008. But however, the argument was that governors and elected officials could not issue call to prayer proclamations in any National Day of Prayer proclamation specifically. However, that lawsuit has been thrown out, reaffirming a constitutional right for governors, specifically the governor of Colorado, and any other elected officials to issue National Day of Prayer proclamations and call to prayer proclamations. So that, again, was another tremendous victory that we are praising the Lord for. Also, I'd mentioned on the last call about chapel owners in Idaho that were being sued. As I'd mentioned before, those non-discrimination ordinances that at the federal level is ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and then there are several states that have similar legislation, and even counties that seek to give special protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. So these chapel owners in Idaho were actually sued and potentially going to be fined large amounts of money and even threatened with jail time for refusing to perform a same-sex marriage, obviously an unconstitutional action. However, the American Civil Liberties Union of Idaho says that it will not seek to compel the Hitching Post to perform weddings for same-sex couples because a religious exemption applies. And apparently it's due to the Hitching Post changing in status to become a religious corporation. So that was an update on that. Also, the city has issued a press release stating that it will not pursue charges due to the Hitching Post status as a religious corporation that is exempt from the city's anti-discrimination ordinance. So I wanted to make sure that I gave an update on that situation. Also, I know most of you are working on this already. However, we have several different state directors at all different points in the process, some newer than others. So I just wanted to remind or encourage the considering a plan to invite new legislators in this new session to join the prayer caucus, and whether that be personal invites, mailed invites, whether that be a prayer breakfast or a launch event of sorts. And again, that launch event we've seen that successful in several states, and this is a launch event that was solely done by the state directors and has been a great success. So if somebody is considering to do a launch event in the new session or some type of a prayer breakfast, please do contact us so that we can brainstorm on how to incorporate prayer and potentially that a recommitment to the mission, and whether that is signing a call to prayer, whatever that may look like. Please do contact us, and we'll be happy to brainstorm with you. But we do encourage plan to open the session in prayer and to recommit to this mission. Also, just considering a 2015 strategy, and I know most of you are looking for appointments with the chairman in order to discuss that strategy and what that may look like for the legislators and also for the citizens. And the 4 points, again, that we're looking to focus on are our prayer strategy, a legislative strategy, an education strategy, and a mobilization strategy. So we can talk about that more if there's any questions. But again, just thinking 2015 is right around the corner. So we want to be making sure that we have all of our that we're thinking through and creating a strategy as we enter into the new year. Okay, a couple of housekeeping. Actually, any questions on anything that I've mentioned so far? I always like to give a minute in case somebody's trying to unmute.
Hey, thank you. This is Bob Emmerich. I was just trying to unmute. The launch for the new session, that sort of thing, I have a call. In fact, I think that I'm supposed to talk with our legislative leaders for the prayer caucus here this afternoon. I'm waiting to hear back from them. About doing that very thing. So was there something specific that you were looking for or wanted to talk about?
Well, I mean, and we can potentially talk.
Hello?
Oh, I think we lost Summer. Maybe I can answer that. And then Summer. Oh, there you are. Are you back?
Yeah, actually, go ahead, because that was interesting. It automatically, for some reason, it just muted me. But go ahead, Leah, if you want to expand on that.
Yeah. Bob, yeah, here's the thing. I think what we've come down to is we realize, just like everything, each state is so unique that there are definitely a pool of ideas that would be very helpful. There, the kinds of things would be a breakfast where you invite all the legislators, cast the vision. It might be a ceremony, not unlike the first launch event, but only maybe smaller in scale. Another one might be that you simply do an invitation out, emailing sort of round robin invitation kind of thing to all the legislators, that includes the new ones, and invite them to a meeting that you cast the vision, not a breakfast, not a reception, but it's really just a meeting for those that are interested. It could be you might piggyback onto any kind of a prayer event that already happens in your capital, where people are coming together, and you piggyback on with that group and say, hey, in addition to that, can we also invite and cast the vision for the Legislative Prayer Caucus to that? So we don't really feel like there's probably one way that it needs to happen. As you can imagine, all the factors you would want to consider in doing that. More than anything, we want to say to you, if you want to brainstorm with us, and sort of think through, we will set an appointment and a meeting with you, and let's brainstorm this, and let's talk through the factors. And the questions we'd be asking was, what kind of participation have you had in the past? What kinds of things have worked? What is common behavior that would be easy for your legislators to do? How do they best respond? Those kinds of things. We brainstorm, and then secondarily, we also want to say, if you say, well, here's what I think would work, but I'm not sure if I have the bandwidth to make it happen, then we want to be able to come alongside and say, okay, what do you need from us? How might we support your efforts to make that successful? If you think it's the right fit and the right move, how do we get behind you on this and make sure that we use our resources and time and energy to make it work? Does that kind of answer your question?
Very, very much. Thank you. I guess what I'll probably the best thing to do would be to contact you after this call sometime and talk about that. We could set up a time to. I would love to brainstorm a little bit. We're just the new session. They just met yesterday, finished up electing officers and so forth, and now they're out of session until January. So right now is the time where we're trying to decide how we want to. Invite. We have a lot of new members, it's very exciting things that happened in the recent elections here in Maine. But so we have a lot of new members in the legislature. We want to introduce them to the Prayer Caucus and do some kind of a launch and reinforce what we've done in the past and try to get new people on board. So I would love to brainstorm with anyone who has any ideas of what we might do.
And one more thing to add to that, Bob, is that the thing I love about this team is that the ideas and the things that the state directors themselves are doing in the states that is going well is a great brainstorming and idea mill for what you might want to do in your state. And so anything that you legislators, Bob Emmerich, and hopefully we've passed out everybody's emails and phone numbers to each other, and everybody has a list of all the different legislators. But right now, Bob, you just heard that Bob Emmerich from Maine has a lot of exciting things, wants to launch well. And if you, I know Mike Corder, for example, you guys have had a very successful launch event in Kentucky. If anybody has something that you think has worked beautifully in your state and you think might be helpful to Bob, what we're asking you to do is even take it upon yourself to shoot him an email and say, hey, Bob, what we did was X, Y, Z, and here's what was so great about it. Is this something interesting, and would you like more information on this? Do you want to talk about this? And that way Bob can say, yes, oh, my goodness, tell me about it. And we want that to happen too.
Great. Yes, that sounds wonderful. I would love to hear from anyone who has any ideas about that.
Good. And potentially even at the end of this call, once we kind of give everybody
time to give an update. If we have some time, I would love for those that have had successful events to share, because this is a perfect time to do that as well. So, but I would like to make sure that we give everybody an opportunity to give an update on their states, and then if we have some free time, that we'll make sure to cover those items. Good. And then just to...
Summer,
go ahead, Thomas.
How the lawsuit that was won about the Forsyth County.
Yes.
What do we do with that exactly? I mean, yes, we praise the Lord, but I mean, do we send it to all the county commissioners and all the city commissions to say you can continue meeting in prayer? I mean, or do we, what have people done with that?
Yeah, we sent it out as an update to make sure that the word does get out, because I believe that the more elected officials specifically and citizens that understand not only the issues that are at play here, and that there have been court cases like this one where there are issues with people praying sectarian prayers, but also the fact that these cases are being won, reaffirming their rights, the right of elected officials to have prayer at the opening of their meetings, and also the right of citizens to pray according to their conscience. So it's definitely, the more that we can get the word out, the better. I definitely believe that that is important.
Okay. Just to add to that, I think the short answer is yes. I mean, if the other side, which we know, is targeting city council, school boards, is targeting city commissioner offices, that's their whole point, is to target these groups, is that if you have a list of those kinds of offices and you could send them all an email, in a blanket email, and you can do that through our system, and say, just want you to be aware of this, you're free to do this, and here's why, and attach the copy of the the results of the judge's rulings. Absolutely. Those are the kinds of things we'd love to see happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I have a second question. The thinking of the summit, this is just, you're all just looking to do this at one time, right? This is not going to be an annual event?
No, I wouldn't at all characterize this as a one-time deal. We're only looking at this first summit to see how it goes, but I think in my heart I have every expectation that this will be so valuable that this will become a repeated event.
And we've heard for a similar model to take place at the state level. I mean, this is something that could take place at the state level with state legislators, state business leaders, state faith leaders, state law and policy experts to potentially brainstorm on how to do this very same thing at the state level.
I see. I still go back to I originally proposed we give out an award to the legislator who best reflects our values of religious liberty, who's done, just like Obadiah was a politician who guarded the prophets, that we have, there was some legislator that we select, and we could do the state directors could pick somebody, and to give that award to, but it's that type of thing that that's what's done in other arenas that I've seen, where they have a regular summit, where they have a regular meeting, and once they have the man, this is our man or woman of the year, or this is the legislator of the year, and so I really recommend you consider that idea.
Yeah, that idea, Thomas, I think what's going to end up happening is, because this is such a unique gathering of government leaders, in fact, really first of its kind, for this purpose and this kind of a convening, where it's the leaders themselves, the congressional leaders, inviting a network and a group of state legislators and congressional leaders to come together of their own accord, of their own foundation. They're not going to somebody else's conference. They're not, going to ALEC or whatever. They are coming together, and I think they are going to begin really brainstorming how they want this network and this this association to take form. And I think that's a great idea. I think what will probably happen is that will organically come out of their desire to do it. And I think giving this to them as an idea is exactly the right way to do it. And then we'll see what they do with it. So you have to remember, they're all legislators, and they're all probably the key people doing it in their states. They're all superstars on this one issue. So it'll be interesting to see
identify. Getting the legislators sometimes to make a decision is tough. That's just why I wanted to put it in the state director's hands.
Yeah, I hear
it. But I understand this being the first time, and you know, that you want them to have more ownership of it. That I understand that.
Yeah, it's a good idea. We'll keep it in mind for sure.
Great, thank you, Thomas. Okay, a quick housekeeping item. I know that a couple of you need business cards, so I just wanted to put that out there. If there is anybody that needs business cards, please do contact me because we're going to be doing an order hopefully soon here. We'd like to try and do as many at one time as we can. So please do contact me if you need additional business cards. And with 20 minutes remaining, I'd love to take some time to open it up to the state directors to get a quick update from each of you. And let's go ahead, if we could, start with Beth in Colorado.
Okay, I have to do the unmute thing there. Thanks. Well, you stole my thunder about the prayer proclamation ruling. So, and so for us, it's just getting a second chair and looking at all these other things that are happening and how can we incorporate them into the legislation that's coming out. Like you said, we have the whole thing about the religious corporation not being forced into performing a wedding. A same-sex wedding plays heavy here, and so I'm interested. We're going to be watching to see a reversal, if possible, of parts of the same-sex marriage. They didn't call it. They called it civil unions bill, but they're still getting married. That forces churches in Colorado to open their facilities to same-sex couples. So we're going to be watching that, and probably I can't say for certain, but because we're never allowed to say for certain until it hits the floor, that there'll be some legislation run to help protect at least our churches here.
Okay, great. So we need to, as a prayer point, need to be continuing to pray for new leadership for the Colorado State Legislative Prayer Caucus. And so we'll continue to pray for that. Thank you for your update, Beth. And so glad to hear you are doing well. And Maine, I know, Bob, you gave us a quick update as far as meeting with legislators this afternoon to brainstorm a strategy for 2015. Do you have any other updates that you want to share with us?
Just want to thank everyone for joining us here in Maine and praying for the legislature and the prayer caucus. I have I want to get the numbers, the exact numbers, before I say too much. But the members of our prayer caucus, who there was a lot of hesitation in the beginning about or inviting criticism, or you know, it being used against them, you know, for being too openly religious at the state house and as legislators and all of that. But this recent election, I believe every one of the members of our prayer caucus who ran for reelection won, and that they are just they're attributing that to people praying for them, and of course they did the work they needed to do, but they really attribute that to the prayers and being part of the prayer caucus. Because their shifting of their priorities, they're setting their priorities in order, and they think that the Lord is honoring that. And there's just a real positive atmosphere about that, and it's gotten the attention of others in the legislature. So we're very encouraged by what we're seeing. Now it's just a matter of trying to set, and we're It seems like we're always trying, looking for a reset button here in Maine, but meeting with the legislative leaders and what we're trying to do is to set sort of a calendar for the whole year with a few events and some things like that, try to set things up ahead of time so it doesn't get lost during the busy seasons. And the last thing is one of our leaders, Senator Burns, is again going to sponsor a Religious Freedom Restoration Act here in Maine. We did that last time and it was defeated. We're very positive, very hopefully, optimistic is the word I was looking for, that we're going to be able to get that passed this time. So we'd appreciate prayers for that as well.
Absolutely. That is such an encouraging update. And we will be praying for that RFRA.
Our Senate president, our new Senate president that was just sworn into office last night, our Senate president, our majority leader, Senate majority leader, assistant majority leader in the Senate, and the in the House of Representatives, the minority leader and assistant minority leader, are all members of the Prayer Caucus. It's just to give you an idea of the changes that's taken place in our legislature. So even those in leadership now have gained a new kind of boldness. So it's exciting.
Wow, that's very strategic, and it is very exciting. Yes, well, good. Well, we will definitely be continuing to pray for the members of the Prayer Caucus there in Maine, and thank you for all of your efforts, Pastor. They are greatly appreciated. Okay, let's turn it over to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, do you have an update for us?
Thank you. One of the things we're doing right now is we have a date and we're planning it for the first week. The legislative session meets. That's a week when they mostly do introductions and establishing leaders, and some of the leaders have already been established. We'll have a call to prayer event with speakers from the legislative body. And it's a time which we will use to meet that whole week with some of the new leaders. Also, I'm, as we speak, working on an invitations to some of the new legislators that have joined, as well as to the old ones that have been members. We want to kind of re-up them to, revisit their commitment. And that'll be one of the focuses of our call is that we really need to stay focused on religious liberty issues. It seems to be in Kentucky, where we have the Restoration Act passed, not just to be in word only, but there it really comes into conflict with the local fairness laws. And we've seen an issue in Lexington, where I'm close to, where that fairness law, just by those on the Fairness Council, ruled that they could not use that law that we passed in our state to protect a young man who has quite a lucrative shirt business. And that's a national issue that you'll have to look into. But I'm just saying that we have a religious liberty restoration, but there's still this push from liberals in our state to use fairness as a kind of discrimination against religion. And we want our legislators to be aware that that's going on and to find ways to come against it. We haven't planned a meeting yet, but we will plan one shortly with our chairman, at least his side people that work with the staff people, to get with him and plan our strategy for 2015 and how he wants to handle it any differently than he has. We have been using a prayer room, which we trust we will continue to do that. But I really do want to incorporate new leaders, new members, and leaders. Some of the House members have changed leadership. We have a liberally controlled House and a liberally controlled executive branch, very conservative Senate. So we have some protections in place, but it's still kind of a wait and see until we wish that Kentucky would have followed the federal way, and we would have had a turnover in our government, but we did not see that. We have no change whatsoever in the numbers. just some of the faces have changed. And I really believe there's going to be a difference this year. We've seen some of it a little bit every year. So there's just a few things in the works, and I really like the idea of the breakfast. We have prayer breakfast every Friday, but it's not led by us. But we meet some of those same leaders who meet with us in our prayer meeting. So maybe we can incorporate something like that.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Just to reiterate, a core issue that has been, it's been an ongoing issue now for some time, but is the fact that these non-discrimination ordinances, or these fairness laws, if you will, are trumping religious liberty. And just as a resource, Congressman Forbes did write a very good article on religious liberty becoming a second-tier right. So that's something that we will want to make sure that legislators understand, that these not the that a lot of times these non-discrimination ordinances are actually trumping RFRAs and trying to come up with a strategy to make sure that that doesn't happen. So a prayer point, and also a legislative strategy point. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Summer?
Yes.
Summer, it's PM. I'm going to have to run, but I just wanted to say that please pray for us as we start trying to launch everything. We're trying to work on everything. Our session starts in March, and all of our good guys got reelected, except one congressman. But we just need prayer here for Florida, please. And I'm going to go up and do this interview with the religious freedom at our Capitol. So I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, and please pray for Florida.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Thank you for jumping in, and we will be praying for that interview. Thank you for all of your efforts there. And, yes, Merry Christmas to you, and we'll connect very soon.
Okay. God bless you guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, Sharon in North Carolina, if you would love to get an update from you.
Summer, you know, I've just been listening to everything, and especially to Bob talking about what to do at the beginning of the session, and we're thinking about that ourselves. But what I felt like I really wanted to share was a mistake that we made in the last session. And I had never been through what is called a short session in this state before. It's all about money issues. And I did not realize the intensity. I did not realize what the atmosphere would be like, but I went down the day before the session to pray, and I just realized that we had not prepared enough in prayer before the session began. I was brokenhearted over it, because I just realized it was my own naivete and not understanding the seriousness of the issues. And we ended up just calling the leaders of the prayer caucus and repenting over it, and asking their forgiveness and asking God to just cover our foolishness. But I learned a very valuable lesson from it, and that is it's too late to set a proper atmosphere when the session starts. And so that's where we are right now. In fact, I've just been working on it as we've been talking. We're going to have a worship gathering there for First Fruits and for Hanukkah in just a couple of weeks. And I just know for us it's very important that we move in first in prayer and in establishing the presence of God before the session begins. And it's such a simple, well-known verse, but I believe the verse the Lord's given us for it is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Thank you, Sharon, for that update. I know you also in North Carolina had a very successful legislative prayer. Actually, it was all three branches that came together to open session in prayer at one point. So thank you for your efforts. Thank you for being sensitive to the leading of the Lord to make sure that you get there beforehand and establish his presence. And again, thank you for all of your efforts in North Carolina. Jenny, we have, if Jenny in Iowa, if you would please give us, we have about 8 minutes left, and if you could give us an update there in Iowa, please.
Sure. I just want to say I was at the funeral yesterday for our representative that passed away, who was a real rock in the House, real foundational, but I got to visit with quite a few legislators there yesterday, that especially with a lot of the younger ones that he mentored, that are real wanting to pick up where he left off and to begin to carry the torch. And also was able to find a, because Joni Ernst in our Senate has moved, is moving on, Jason Schultz, who was very strong in the prayer caucus, who was in the House, has now been elected in the Senate, and he's going to be one of our chairmen for the prayer caucus. So we've gotten that taken care of. Also, I am working with Joel on setting up the calendar for this year. We have not met, but I finally was able to get him to pin down a little bit to meet and decide what we're going to do. We are having, Concerned Women for America is having a, wanting to have a dinner for the legislators and their wives on the night, well, Martin Luther King, and Alveda King is coming to speak at that, and we've already arranged for her to open in prayer in our House and Senate. So I'm working on kind of piggybacking with them with the Iowa Prayer Caucus for that event. And then just we do have a day set for March 19th as soon as we could get a space in our rotunda. But we will have, I think we will probably gear it toward In God We Trust. But just a lot of meetings to plan out our year and how it's going to look, and also to have a either a breakfast or a meeting to have a I really would like to have a recommitment from those that joined 2 years ago, and to really explain to them more, and inviting the new legislators to become a part of the prayer caucus. So a lot of stuff going on, and of course we have been praying weekly at our Capitol, and we'll be praying the week before being able to go into our house and anoint all the chairs, and we're going to be prayer walking instead of sitting in the room the next 2 weeks at the Capitol. So that's just kind of it in a nutshell. Oh, also we do have legislation in the works for a Religious Freedom Act, and Sandy Salmon, who you've, Summer, you know, is going to be the one that heads that up. But on my trip with Huckabee, I was able to meet one of the pastors. I sat with him on one of the plane legs, and he has been coming to our prayer meetings and is actually pulling away from that to go to other states to encourage pastors to go pray at their capitals with their legislators, and he is writing legislation. So I told him, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's going to be sending this to me that I believe we have attorneys that have partnered with us to look at legislation to help us make it foolproof or wholeproof. And so I'm going to be working with them and the legislators on this legislation.
Thank you, Jenny. And Leah and I were deeply grieved by the loss of Representative Lons. He was a tremendous asset to the legislature there in Iowa, and we have been praying for his family, and it's just been encouraging to see what a safe place and prayer resource that you are there in Iowa. As I know, they turned to you right away to start praying. So just thank you for all of you. Really, are such a genuine support to these legislators, and it's just a beautiful.
Summer,
thing.
Can I add something since you said that?
Yes. Yes.
When I went to the funeral, I went to the visitation and I went to the funeral, and I have been sending this out. You know, I've been the one sending out everything, but it's because of the relationship I built with them. And I can't stress anything more than building the relationship with your legislators, because when I went to that, I did not realize the dependence that they had on and the encouragement that they, I had so many of the legislators saw me and come over to me and thank me so much for keeping them in the loop about this. And it was like something just, I don't know, happened. You know, this is our second year, or we've just finished our second year, and it's taken a while to build the trust and with a lot of the legislators. But I saw that yesterday in a new light of how they were so welcoming and so appreciative of the prayer that they are getting, and so willing to even share more of what they need. It was like a new level came in yesterday when I was able to go to that funeral. And I've had emails from them thanking me. And so just continue. I just want to encourage everybody to continue to build those relationships. That trust is where we're going to be able to move. And it's very sincere, and I know it is on y'all's part too, but just want to share that.
Thank you, Jenny, and we genuinely thank you as well. That is our heart, and it's we just appreciate, again, all of you and all of your efforts to build those relationships. It really is important. And I don't mean to cut anybody short. We just have a couple of minutes left, and again, we want to honor everybody's time. Delbert, if it's okay, I'm just going to give a quick update on Illinois. Basically, we are moving forward on the launch event. We're waiting for the calendar to come out for 2015 in order to finalize the date, but we are basically primed and ready to go to make that happen. We're just waiting for the date in Illinois. And again, Delbert, we thank you for all of your efforts. You have been working diligently and are just a tremendous blessing to us. So I know the legislators there in Illinois. Thomas, in 1 minute, can you give us an update on Ohio?
Well, we're working hard on the support network. We've started a house of prayer with a number of ministries coming together, so that the legislators will be getting once they start their legislative prayer caucus, they'll have a grassroots support behind them, and so. The legislators, they kept on telling me after the election, we'll talk. And well, after the first, now it's after the first of the year when the new session starts, we'll talk. And so, Lord has his own timing with this. But, I had a red letter day yesterday, on Tuesday, I did the opening prayer, in both the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. So, that's just a sign of trust, to be able to do that. And so, God is moving. God is good. God is in his own time. Every week I'm up there ministering a prayer walking. So.
Great. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for your efforts. And again, I apologize for cutting anybody short. We are just, I don't know where the hour went. So we have, I know we have a few states that we have not received updates yet from, but at the same time, we will make sure that everybody gets, or at least those states for sure, have time on the next meeting. And if there's any updates that they want to make sure that get around to everybody, please do send me those updates, and I'll send it out in the follow-up. Again, it's 11:01, so I want to just make sure that we have any, I'll send up a follow-up. If anybody has any questions, feel free to follow up with us. Let's go ahead and close the call. And, Mike, if you would close us, please.
And make sure you include Pam.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon everything that we choose to do, everything that you've called us to do. God, we pray especially for Pam, that you would bless her work there and to Florida, and we just thank you, Father, for going before her and behind her and causing her to know your favor in everything that she does. God, we ask for that for ourselves, for Leah Summer, for those at the staff in Virginia, for Randy Forbes, for those who lead with him. God, we are excited about what you're accomplishing through this ministry, and we pray for a continued increase exponentially of your favor and your blessing and your anointing and your provision and everything that's required to see this go forth. Thank you, Father, in advance for all of the victories that we're going to see and for the strength to stand in the midst of what seems like adversity or what seems like a blocked door. We just declare those doors are opening in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for this morning and for going with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Next meeting is January 29th, and we wish you all a very Merry Christmas. God bless you. A Happy New Year. And
Merry Christmas.
You.
Bless y'all.
Yes. Merry Christmas,
God
everyone.
God bless you all.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.